Hey, this is Daps from NRG. You're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome. Welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back from our vacation. We missed you. We hope you missed us. This is episode 120, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, September 5th. 2018, the time, 8:23 p.m. Central Standard Time. I am one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. Hello. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Hey, what's up, fellas? It feels like it's been a long time.
Freshly shaven. You look weird.
On accident, dude.
Such a baby face.
Like, accident. I had the trimmer on one. Tried to trim it down, took off the whole right side, and realized it was time.
Well, time to restart. All right. And we also have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hello, guys. What's up?
What's up? Yeah, we took a week off. I was on vacation. I went to Alabama and Florida. Went to Universal Studios. Saw Harry Potter. Harry Potter World, that is. So
jealous.
That's always fun. And now we're back. The wife,
now
I think,
back.
Has the flu. So that will happen. Yeah. Going to an amusement park. Much like going to a esports event. Chances are you're probably going to get sick. I always get sick at DreamHack, that is for sure.
That's also no sleep for 72 hours.
Yeah, DreamHack
energy
doesn't help
drinks,
anything. It's just your diet's out the window. It's just sitting close to disgusting people for far too long. It doesn't help anything. But we are back, and this is going to be the best episode ever. Not only are we going to talk about a little bit of Overwatch and e-news, have some things to get to in e-news. A lot happened in 2 weeks while we were gone, so we'll touch on some of that. The CSGO Major has officially started, the Face It London Major. We're going to take all the matches in today and discuss that for our main topic. But before we get into that, make sure you follow us on social media, at The Center Ring on Twitter. TCR.gg is the website, and that has all of our Discord links and all that fun stuff. Before we get into the discussion of the London Major, I do want to always plug this in. We talked a little bit about it last episode, but we have links and everything now that you can go to our Twitter to find. So we teamed up with a website called Challenge. That's officially how you say it. And basically their website, and you probably even have seen them because they're not like new or anything. They've been around for a while. But they do brackets, and like they started doing it now to where you can create tournaments to follow along and everything here. So they were nice enough to help us set one up. You can go to our event page on challenge.com and follow along with what's going on in the Swiss stages for the London Major. The fun part about this, though, is when it gets to the new championship stage, you can actually predict your bracket now. So we are going to have a TCR bracket challenge. The winner will receive something. We haven't officially decided yet. I'm leaning towards gift cards, right? Everyone likes Steam money. So possibly a Steam gift card, possibly
get yourself a nice old knife or something battle scarred.
Maybe a marble karambit. Brett will foot the bill for that.
Yeah,
maybe a nice dragon lore. Maybe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, drop $2,500, sure.
Look, I can draw you a picture of a dragon lore. I'll send you a screenshot. It'll be like those things, you know, on eBay where every time there's a new system that comes out, so you always hear that people get gypped because they bought like a Nintendo Switch box.
Yeah.
But no system. That's what our dragon lore would be like. No, we said you would get this picture of an Op Dragon Lord. We never said we had it.
We give him a case and a key. Wish him good luck. Send him on the way.
Good luck. Have fun.
Goodbye. Yeah, so we are going to do something, though, and it's a fun way to get involved with the listeners. So right now you can follow along with us on challenge.com. Go to our Twitter at the Center Ring. We tweet out links for it. But when it gets to the championship stage where we're out of the Swiss format, then you can actually create a bracket and pick your winner. And again, we'll pick some prizes there for the top dogs. But that's enough for some plugola. Let's get into this Face It Major, because it did start today early in the morning for us in the States. I believe the first match was at 4 a.m. And unfortunately, it was an exciting match for us Americans. It was a sentimental match, I should say. You had Rogue and Space Soldier start the day. Rogue, to me, a surprise team. Obviously, it has Hiko on the roster. I don't know, when did we do the one episode? It had to have been almost like 30 or 40 episodes ago.
The Book of Hiko?
Yeah, we did the rise and fall of Hiko, basically writing him off, saying like, that's it. We are dead.
Retirement.
I mean, that was like 6 months ago at least.
Let me see. Because it's whenever he was left Optic, right? Because then he wasn't on team for a while, then he got on Rogue, and we were like, this will be the last you see of Hiko on the main stage. And to their credit, they qualified for the major. This major, by the way, doesn't bother me as much as the last one, that they included more teams. You know, with the last major, I was really triggered the fact that they introduced the Challenger stage.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too.
I'm okay with it. I kind of like it now because you get more major. Right,
you're getting quality CS still, right? Mm-hmm. You're not getting, like, if we were getting bad CS games or getting tier 2, tier 3 teams making it to this point, I don't think anybody would be enjoying it. But you look at all the star players that you have in this stage that we would normally be missing out on, you know? For people like me and Brett, you know, we have Nip to root for, who we wouldn't have had otherwise. Again, even a team like Rogue, VP, like a lot of big names are coming out of this stage, so it's making for some really fun and exciting CS.
Yeah. I mean, really, you can only look at two teams and be like, oh my gosh, why are they there? But one of them actually won today in Vegas Squadron.
Vegas performed well in majors.
I know. When I was watching the games, I saw that like Vega had only played like five official matches in like 3 months. Like, what? Like, what is going on? What are you doing?
Heavy scrimming, downtime of the season. Yeah. I mean, I think you're seeing that from a lot of teams, though, recently, other than the big dogs who are all playing in these DreamHack, you know, events and stuff that are going on. A lot of teams had a lot of downtime right now, and you saw that with Complexity being one. Even Rogue feel like they've had a little bit of time off here.
But you haven't had as many Tier 2 tournaments going in. Into this major. So there was probably like a month or two. I mean, we even saw it on the show, right? We kind of took a step back from talking about Counter-Strike every episode because there wasn't that much to talk. There wasn't really a whole lot going on that was worth talking about. A lot of roster moves, right? Getting things in before roster locks and things like that. But as far as like adjusting your skills, and it's the same thing with any sport, right? When you're going into your playoffs or going into the Super Bowl, even if you're in a tournament, everyone knows those top teams. Yeah, sure, you might want to win that tournament, but you're not pulling out your best strategies for DreamHack Masters. You know, you're 2 weeks away from the major. You're saving all your big stuff, all your new strats, your three-man stacks for the major.
It's just a warm-up, you know, make sure everyone's in sync. You're covering
your spots.
Knows
it. And everyone knows that's the case. So nothing too bad there. Rogue did end up defeating Space Soldiers 16-10. Very convincing scoreline, honestly, on Inferno. Space Soldiers, though, tough break going into the major as one of their better players had visa issues and their coach had to sit in. So that, again, it's not just with America, right? People always want to say NA major when there's visa issues. It happens everywhere. And, you know, you can say that
English countries in general, it's going to be stricter than some of the European countries in NA. I mean, it's a little tougher still. You know, it sucks for them because they had been playing so well leading up to the major.
Well, and Engine's the guy, right? It was Engine, right?
Yeah, Engine. Yep.
He was the one who has to skip out of the major, and I'm assuming they knew earlier than what they told everyone, because he only tweeted it out a couple days ago that he was going to miss the major.
So I think it's like when they officially find out, like, hey, it's not coming back in time.
I think they had
nervous at
something. Yeah, I think they had a better idea. Like, yeah, this might be last minute for us, but I think they had a better idea than, you know, way ahead of time. I mean, if you ever went for your passport, right? Everyone knows how long that can take. Yeah. Or so you know if something's going
and we don't even know how tough it is from, you know, their country too, you know. That's a whole different story than us going down to Austin or something to get it renewed right away.
So sucks for space soldiers.
Yeah, no, you could tell it affected him because the guy that stood in for him was like 3-22 or something like that. So it's like
for hard style. I mean, he's a coach. You see this sometimes though when coaches fill in and they do okay, right? It's just it is what it is. I think Space Soldiers at this point in the game is just playing with house money.
The thing is, it sucks because you can only lock in with 6 players to the major, like when you have to do your roster lock. And obviously the 6th for most people is their coach, right? Like you're not going to not have your coach there with you. So it almost makes you wonder, like, would it be nice to have an extra one? That way you could bring a true, because a 3-22 score line, I mean, you talk about bad. I get that he's the coach, but that's, you know, we could pull off a 3-22. Let's be real. We can get lucky. Granted, he probably plays positioning and all that significantly better, but you talk about a handicap. I mean, we've seen stand-in coaches before. You've seen Zonic do it before. You've seen other coaches stand in and perform at least an average level, right? When God B was coaching, same thing for him. But 3-22 is a whole different type of bad.
That's a different level of terrible.
Yeah, yeah. That's really 12 damage per round. 12 damage a round. I mean,
you can wall bang.
You're basically non-existent.
That's just throwing your nade down banana, maybe hitting someone at hay bales. Like that's rough.
Yeah, that's rough. But anyways, for them, like you said, they're playing with house money. It's good for us. We got to see Hiko come out with a win. Super exciting, right? To just see him even have a chance to advance. It gets everybody's blood going a little bit. You know, you want to see them. He's an easy person to root for. Sick, who has also been an up-and-comer for so long through the TSM ranks, playing with Automatic. Now to where he's at, it's good to see him doing well. So a lot of good storylines to follow on that team.
In your next match of the day, this was kind of a big one. VP versus NIP. Going into it, you knew VP was going to lose because they still have that horrendous color scheme. But besides that,
it's not that.
It's pretty buff. Unless you're the Joker. Let's leave green and purple to the Joker and Mardi Gras, okay? But they're playing NIP. Another team, both very historical teams. Right, they both have a lot of fans. Their fan bases are huge. VP has been horrendous. I mean, they're not even the Virtus Pro that everyone, you know, knows.
Get up for this tournament.
Maybe we've seen it for the longest time. I feel like maybe for the last 4 majors, right? We've always came on the show and said, "When is it going to be Virtus's Pro time? Where they're done." Right, like you won't see them in the next major. I think this is it.
The time is now. The time is now on this one.
This is where they're done.
I mean, yeah, you look at the teams that aren't there, like for instance, NRG. You're telling me that NRG isn't better than, you know, Virtus Pro. There's teams that are catching up and that are just way better that are sitting at home right now. So yeah, I think this is their last major. With this current roster.
They kept the 3 to keep this spot in lock. They've already replaced 2 of the players. I mean, now you're going to see a younger crew come in. Neo, I feel like, is on his last leg. There's been rumors that Bialy wants out after this tournament. So, you know, this
I think that's pretty much confirmed at this point. Virtus Pro tweeted it out.
Oh, did they tweet it out?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So Bialy is definitely gone.
But I think they did tweet out saying that this is going to be his swan song with the team.
And so, I think Neo's kind of written on the wall. I guess Pasha's the one, maybe you keep him just for fan favoritism. And you kind of saw that with Get Right a little bit, right? Like there was a point where Get Right was performing really bad and it was like, man, are they just like keeping him on the roster to save face at this point or what? But again, I'm always going to root for him. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. mean, it's like you're, it's like when Troy Aikman was at, you know, on his last leg and he had a concussion like every game. It's like, I just want to see him get concussions the rest of his career. You know, I want him to play into his like 45 or.
It was just nice to see them play well throughout the match. You know, they didn't have a bunch of iffy moments. There were a few anti-ecos early on, and I was frustrated even watching that. There was like three anti-ecos in the first like six rounds where they should have taken a commanding lead, but they ended up running away with it after
that. I didn't get to watch the match live, but I saw your tweet and I'm like, oh no.
Oh, it was bad. It was like three out of six rounds
and then
early on.
And then I look at the scoreline, I'm like, what was he tweeting about?
Well, yeah, I know. I was confused as well. I mean, at work,
if you saw it at the time of the tweet, you would have known what I was talking about. And again, even at the time, they had the lead. I mean, it was like 6-3, but it was like the three rounds they lost were full-blown like anti-eco rounds that they just kept losing over and over again to keep VP alive.
So Nip ended up winning that one. And the next game was the first overtime of the major as Ty Lue defeated Gambit 19-17. Dude, Ty Lue is a major team. Like, I know that they play in the Chinese scene and they don't really, you don't really see them outside of the big tournaments where either they're invited to or like this where they have the Oceanic qualifiers for it. Ty Lue continues to impress me. They play. I mean, you would never know that they don't play against top talent all the time because they really don't struggle. I know Gambit is not like the Gambit of what, you know, even 6 months ago to a year ago where they won the major, where I think people kind of forget that Gambit has won a major. But Ty Lue, I still think they impress me.
Maybe they brought in Indonesian Smurfs. Maybe that's it.
You think that's it?
Yeah.
I mean, Ty Lue has good individual skill, especially at the top. Bintet is a beast for them. They lack technical ability right now. They're just not there. Like, they haven't played enough CS at a high enough level, and that's where you notice it. Against Gambit, they had a good chance. I think everybody believed that Ty Lue had a chance going into the match. Gambit just hasn't been the same, right? But where they get hurt when they play against the top teams, just because they don't have the technical ability. And I think they'll get there if they stick together, but
yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive because Gambit, I mean, that is a major winning roster. I mean, it's a roster that won a major minus Zeus. So it's, yeah, I mean, that's a good start for them.
And Mo played really well. Mo played his butt off in the match. You know, he dropped 30 plus frags in the game. And it was nice to see him on Inferno, 'cause that's where they had their epic, you know, one of their clinching matches on it. But, yeah, they didn't have enough. Ty Lue played well. They played good enough to win, and that's what matters. I think it'll be tough for both of these teams to still make it out of this stage.
Up next, you had... Oh, what happened to it?
Big and teams. Renegades.
Big and Renegades? Was that the next?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the next one.
So you had Big and Renegades. This was a... So Big ended up winning 16-6. The match wasn't really a good one, but who was it? I tweeted you guys. Was it Tabson? Tabson. He was...
The barrels play?
Dude. He just... It wasn't even...
That was Tiz. The one that
Tiz,
I...
Tiz was the crazy toxic play.
Yeah.
Where he... So Tiz, if you haven't seen this, you got to Google it. But he is sitting in toxic and on overpass. If you're watching it at normal speed, you wouldn't even know it. Like, I was watching the game on mute at work, so I didn't even notice until I saw everyone freaking out, and then I saw the clip. The dude, he had to adjust his mouse sensitivity, like, for a split second. Either that, or the dude, like, threw out his elbow trying to look that fast. He like, flick shot, got the headshot, and then immediately looked down again in order to hide, you know, him in toxic.
Basically looked straight at the ground and two of the quickest one taps you will see. And good for him because he needed that. He wasn't fragging at all that match. But no. Those were two of the sickest flicks you'll see it. I mean, just the speed and the accuracy that it took to hit him saved them in that round. But yeah, Tabson was the star of this game for them. He played awesome.
He was right off the gate. He had the scout for, you know, two or three rounds, and he had like triple kills, and he, I think, what was it? Do you have the stat line in front of you, Anuj? I think he almost dropped a 30 bomb. Like him and Gabby.
Yeah, plus 17.
Yeah.
He was plus 17 at 27 and 10. And man, Gabby, I didn't even realize, 26 and 11 with the 119 ADR. I mean, that is some insane numbers from a 1.6 legend to still be able to do it. I mean, at this stage, so.
An IGO that could frag.
Yeah. And remember, he's the one I was just talking about a moment ago. He was coaching for him at one point. You know, he wasn't even on the roster, and they moved him off to coach, and now he's back in playing, so playing well. I want to see Smuya pick it up. The dude is incredible on the op. Watching him is a lot of fun, and he's super aggressive, so it's. I hope, you know, these guys keep performing well. And they have. They've looked good as of recent, so I hope they get a chance to go through.
Then you had, I think I'm out of order on this, so don't, Spirit and Vega.
Kind of talked about this one a little bit.
For this one? Well, we talked about Vega, right? I mean, yeah. This was where I think you saw the first technical delay in the major.
Gosh. Not the last.
Not the last, no. Again, like any other major, the first day was always plagued with major delays and tech issues, and we'll get into it later on, but they didn't fare well. Face it, did not fare well on that one. But this was the first one, and like, it was pretty funny. I kind of felt bad on Twitter because everyone was like, if you're gonna have a game off stream, make it Vega and Spirit. But I think for this one, it wasn't even their fault. This was one where Twitch ended up dying, but
still
I couldn't something. Tell you anything about Spirit to really give any like true insight.
They tried hard they did. They really really tried. No, I'm happy Vega won, because Vega is the more familiar team for most people. You've seen them in big events, you've seen them perform well, so it's I'm glad they pulled through in this match. If Spirit was going to walk away with one, this probably would have had to have been it. You know, maybe if they get a Ty Lue or somebody, they would have a chance as well. They are my 0-3 pick, so the dream is alive. That's exciting.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, this was the most nerve-wracking game I thought I was gonna have, you know, in the first game of matchups here.
Well, I think Vega is one of the only teams, maybe apart from a few others, but where Spirit could take 14 rounds on them.
Yeah,
I mean, the other team that you could say maybe going in were Hellraisers, and they ended up, so I don't know how I want to word this. Either Hellraiser surprised me because they played well and they beat North 19-17 in overtime, or if I was a North fan, I would be ripping my hair out, because they are the most frustrating team to watch.
Yeah, like, I mean, at one,
they just got off beating Astralis like a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, at one point
you thought DreamHack Sweden, right? They just came off winning DreamHack Sweden.
Yeah,
and then you lose to Hellraisers.
Yeah, you thought they had it in the bag, because at one point in that match they had rattled off like what, 8 rounds in a row, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, but that's to come back, right? Like, yes, they rattled off 8 rounds, but it's because they were down.
Hellraisers had to take a couple of rounds at the end, right, to take it to overtime. So it was like,
yeah, I just.
It was North. North came back and won like the last like 6 rounds of the match, right?
That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised by Hellraisers. Hellraisers have a really, really good lineup. Angel has been known to be a top fragger on this team. Woxic is the one who everyone was hoping would attend the major. He was having visa issues to go to Sweden last week, missed the first round of games, came back and played really well. And I think that experience was important for them to get some more LAN experience. But I think Hellraisers is really a team to be messed with. They're playing well. They have a fairly deep team. Dead Fox is also good. Bondic is a proven player. So, and he was their worst performer in the match. North is just frustrating, because if you even look at DreamHack Sweden last week, they go 0-6, they get 0-16 in a match, and then they come back and win the tournament and beat Astralis in a best of 3. So we know the talent is there.
They're so inconsistent.
It's just the same story with them, though. They've been inconsistent for as long as we can remember, and I think this is why this team gets to stick around, is because they have some really poor showings, and then they come back and it's like, oh, wow, they just won DreamHack Sweden. Like, it's a huge event with the top tier teams. FaZe is going for $1 million in that event. Like, teams are taking it serious.
And why is that, though? Why do you think North has that inconsistency compared to other teams where, like, you normally see, like, teams go in and out of phases, but never as quickly as North does? You know, like, you'll have teams be dominant for a stretch, and then they might, you know, lose it a little bit, but then they come back, right? I think of teams like Big, where Big will go in kind of, like, bipolar stages, where it's, like, 3 months of solid gameplay, and then they suck. Where North, as you mentioned, they're inconsistent within a tournament, going 0-16 to then winning it.
So MSL's got a good side and a bad side, right? Like, his Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type situation. With him, you're getting good leadership ability. He knows the game tactically really well. He puts a good game plan in place. They need him to frag at a high level, though. He can't be a poor fragger and them come through with the win, because they have five good players, not five great players, right? So you need everybody kind of pushing their gears. Against Astralis in the finals of DreamHack Sweden, MSL led 2 out of the 3 maps. And that's exactly what they need from him, is to perform that way. He goes -8 today with hardly a 60 ADR. And that's just what's going to happen. You can't have one guy hold you back when you don't have a star player like a Nico or something. They have a Nico, which is kind of funny, actually. But they don't, you know, but the right Nico. They're not the
lowercase Nico.
To carry you.
Yeah. Little Nico.
But
yeah, it's, I mean, that's kind of been his MO for the longest time, right? I mean, as long as I could remember, you know, just recently, is his lack of fragging. I mean, yeah, he had a couple of good games, but that's kind of been his knock, right? His lack of, you know, ability to frag.
So we'll have to see here. Actually, you know what? We'll save the draws for the end, because they've actually even drawn already who these guys are playing for tomorrow. So we'll talk about that later on. Let's see here.
Final game
we talked about.
Liquid versus Optic.
Optic.
Boy. The Danish versus the North American, South American, Canadian.
Liquid looked good, man. I know Optic
Liquid looked awesome.
I know, yeah. Optic isn't like that big of a threat to anyone right now. But look, you can't take away, I mean, everyone on Liquid went positive. You had, I mean, Twist was their bottom fragger at 14-7 with a 69.6 ADR.
Yeah, so, yeah, I saw a lot of tweets of, you know, the analysts saying Liquid could win this thing. Like, they could win a major. I'm like, well, I mean, you look at their roster and it's like, yeah. I mean, everyone, there's not one, you know, weak link on that roster, but you look at that roster and outside of Taco, none of those other guys have won a major, right? Or even been like super close.
Well, I mean, Legion Nitro has played in
Legion Nitro played in
semis and finals,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they do have history, but I think that's one of the things that Liquid does have going for it, right? Is that roster has been playing together
a long time in CSGO.
They
got
to be, I was going to say, they have to be one of CSGO the years. Longest tenured rosters in the major, right?
Yeah, they are. I mean, they are. They have
them or Astralis, I think, off the top of my head.
Their core in general, like Nitro and Elysia have been there forever. And Twitch joined when he was dropping out of high school, right? Like, I think he was still in high school when he played with them and dropped out. And that was kind of a big deal.
Two ESL Dallas's ago. So what, last year? Right when we first, when they were in ESL Dallas, that was one of his first, if not his first, big tournament.
Big event.
We got to talk to him about it. So, but again, that was the last year, and that's forever ago. And
this game was all about Liquid CT side. Optic took mid control every single round, and Liquid was letting them have it, which was just saying, hey, we're going to hold the sides on Mirage. This was on Mirage, and it was such a change from the previous two Mirage matches that you saw. Because nobody could play CT side. It's like defense just didn't exist. And in this game, Liquid showed how to hold the sites. They played extremely well on trade fragging. Nitro on B site was incredible with the op. I mean, made so many rounds where he just needed to get a guy or two, and he did it every time. And so it was so impressive to watch him, because their CT side, it was over. Optic looked so down about 8 rounds in, and you knew, like, they're on tilt. Liquid's going to steamroll them. And they did. Unfortunately, we missed the very end of the game.
So this was another
really good.
This is where the issues really started for the night, where the building that they're playing in ended up losing internet. Thankfully, they were able to finish the round. So it was off stream. The stream died. No one could watch it. But unless you went to the Russian stream, because I guess they're not broadcasting out of the building, whatever. But that's
stolen
besides the
stream.
Point.
What a surprise.
And so then you got the results through Twitter of everyone tweeting out who won and lost. Not a good thing, right? It's never a good thing to have tech issues, but then to not catch the final of the game. Thank God this was a blowout and it wasn't, you know, even close during it. But could you have imagined if this was like a 15-14? Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're in the final round and it goes to overtime and the entire time it's off stream. Like, that would be horrendous to start your major with something like that happening. But thank God for optics' sake that, you know, it was off stream and they can move past it. But then it never came back. Because after this, you were supposed to have Astralis and Complexity.
Yeah. I was looking forward to that match. I know people were thinking it was going to be totally one-sided, but I was actually looking forward to it. I know we're all projecting Astralis to win. I don't think it'll be a blowout win, though. I think you could see like in a 16-11, 16-12 kind of game. There's a lot of senior players, you know, coming on Complexity side with Shazam and Stannis. And Shazam has proven that he can step up in a really big situation. So I was actually looking forward to that game just to see if they could keep it close.
But this match was pushed back for tomorrow, for like 10:30 in the morning their time, I believe. And they had to. This was getting pushed back. I mean, it was like 12:30 in the morning, London time. The fact that they were even debating, like the second it hit midnight, they should have been like, we're pushing this back. We can't start a game after midnight. Like, that should be tournament rule number one, right? If it's 11:30, okay, start it. That's fine. If it's after midnight, like that's messed up playing conditions for the players.
There's
at that
just
point.
So much on the line. Like, you hate to see it even that late, even the past 11. You really hate. You want them to get a good night's rest and come back refreshed for tomorrow. This is a 3-week marathon, like not a 1-day sprint. So you just hate to see this happen.
And now they're both going to be playing two matches tomorrow, which either way you spin it, people are going to say that's unfair, right? You're going to have that party that says, well, they get to play two matches, they're warmed up, they're going to be better off. Okay, well then how is that fair to the other teams? Or, well, they just had to basically stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning not knowing if they were going to play, and now all of a sudden they have to play at 10:30 in the morning and then play another match. So it's either way you spin it, it's not ideal. And I totally understand stuff happens, right? Even with us. How many times have we like, all right, guys, let's go record. And then all of a sudden, audio is messed up or the stream isn't working or something like that. And this is a 3-man show, right? Like, on a scale, this is nothing. And yet we have technical issues that are sometimes out of our control. So I totally get that on a major scale, that you're going to have things out of your control. But at what point do we start pointing fingers, whether it be at the tournament organizers or Valve or whoever sets this up? It happens every major.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no matter who has it, it's E-League, Face It, ESL, there's always something like this happening.
And I get, like, if your computer turns off or your game crashes, like, that's whatever, right? That's the nature of the beast. But the entire internet dying for the building, first of all, no one understands why these guys even play online when it's at a LAN, right? Like, why are they playing in a situation where you have to have online access? Someone needs to explain that to me. And I get that you're going to have all these people from within the industry saying, like, well, you just don't understand all the work that goes into it. No, but I definitely understand that at any other job, if you had this level of F up, you'd be done. And I really think the only person you can blame is Valve, because it always happens at the majors where you have these type of internet issues and just major issues that
I just cause think they're these so massive uninvolved delays. That for them, I don't even know what kind of involvement they actually
yeah,
have.
Yeah, but you know, I remember with the last major with PGL, remember where they had a lot of issues? People said that Valve is the one who sets all that up for major events. So it's not PGL. Like, PGL has nothing to do with the internet provider or anything like that. They have all the production control. But as far as like internet and setting up the venue and everything there, I've read that that's Valve. I have no idea.
Why don't they just use the same stuff they use for Dota? They don't seem to have any issues.
Well, you
because
know,
they don't care.
Because it's not Dota, right?
You know, one other rant I have while we're just throwing some salt on this, Richard Lewis tweeted this out and I couldn't agree more. Why don't they have more like content in between matches? I don't want to sit there and listen to James Bardoff and DDK just shoot the shit for like 2 hours, it feels like. I mean, it's so long.
We have talked about this all the time.
Moses and Anders talking about Star Wars and Aliens versus Predators. I was going crazy. Like, why is this not like
I even said it production? In our show chat that we talked to, where it's like, all I want is this stupid match to start. Like, you know there's going to be tech delays. Why are we waiting 45 minutes in between matches? Like, you got to get this going, man. Like, let's go, because that way when there is a delay, it's not a big deal. But when there is a delay, and that's on production's fault, that's the producer's fault for not having content ready. That's your job is to come up with content as a production team.
Like player interviews or whatever, like just stuff like stats, like show me stats from previous matches, previous lands, like just give me information about the game.
You know, there's a secret in radio. And I'm just going to tell everyone this. When they go to phone calls, it means they don't have anything to talk about. So if there's a delay, just go to Twitter. You have millions of people watching you. I'm sure you can find 20 questions to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
That way you're at least getting like maybe some out of the box questions, and that way you can answer them, but they're all relevant to the matches, right? It's not like, hey, so what do you think about Star Wars and Alien versus Predator? And you're not just beating your head against the desk and waiting for it to start.
Deadly unicorns and
it was insane. There was just so much banter in between matches. Like, just give me Counter-Strike. I'm here. Like, this is the major. I want Counter-Strike. This is not a regular season baseball game. Like, this is the big boy major here. Give me content. Give me stuff about the game. I'll appreciate that more.
And I hate comparing it to Dota and the TI, but the TI is a major event. Like you said, this is a major event. Apart from the hype built around it, did you really feel like it was a major today watching it?
No, but I am going to wait to hold judgment until we're on the main stage. Like, I get it. It's hard to do a ton for this. Like, I mean, other than, again, like what they could have done was had better production value. Like, that's what they could have done for the major. But at the end of the day, it's an online match.
Yeah.
There's only so much, but when they're on the
but
stage,
again,
like,
there's
I want to
six,
see...
there are 16 teams playing in this stage. 16
oh,
teams.
Yeah, yeah.
You're telling me you can't go to each of them in a hotel lobby the second they get there and get like a 5-minute interviews with these players, or, hey, just tell me about your life, you know, Hiko, or whatever, right? Just
yeah, like
something.
Some instant reactions from them. Like, none of that's there, and you kind of wonder why, because they have all the access. They should be able to do it. Like, it would just involve people more.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I like about ESL. ESL, they always have
somebody,
you know, that good production, like an interview or something like that,
or like some,
you know,
small little video show on some video on something. Just something is there.
The TI had great filler for the TI. I mean, they every break had some little story about a player, or even talking about like Shiver's cancer treatment and things like that. But it always kept you watching. You know, with Counter-Strike and with the majors, I always find myself like, okay, the round is over. I'm going to go click around the internet for 30 minutes or go do something in between matches, where with other events, I feel like that's not always the case. So,
no.
But to also bring up your point, I don't know if Richard Lewis had his coffee this morning, But that dude was tweeting a lot, and I loved it. I don't know if this is, maybe this is like Richard Lewis Unchained, right? Like he's not hired by E-League or anything, so he can just speak his mind about Counter-Strike World. But he had a lot of good insight of not only the matches, but like, well, at E-League, you know, I said that we should have gotten these guys on desks, and you know, it was nice. I don't know. He was.
If he hasn't banned you already, you should go follow him on Twitter.
Hey, yeah. He unbanned a lot of people. He's turning a new leaf.
Yeah,
we'll see.
It's a new Richard Lewis.
We'll see. For now, though, he's a good Twitter follow. Just don't tweet at him because he'll probably bite your head off, even if you say he's doing a good job. But nonetheless, for tomorrow, we have matchups already. Like I said, the Astralis and Complexity are delayed, but they said just for the sake of continuity, let's draw the matches and see what happens. So starting, I don't know if this is the schedule, but
it is. These are the matches. I have the schedule in front
you
of me.
You actually have like, go. Okay. Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
So obviously, yeah, Astralis and Complexity starting at 4 a.m. it looks like. Game number two, I'm excited about this one. You have NIP versus Ty Lue. That's at 5:30 tomorrow. That should be an exciting matchup, and it's like the best draw that NIP could have asked for.
I don't think that's a guaranteed 2-0.
It's not a guaranteed 2-0, but it's the best draw I think they really could have gotten in a 1-1-0 matchup. Like it's hard to hate on that. Maybe Vega, but Vega's knocked them out of the last major, I believe, before they even got in. So then you have Big and Vega at 7. Followed up by America's Liquid versus Hellraisers.
That'll be a good one.
That will be a good one. It'll be interesting to see what map comes out of that one, because I'm sure Hellraisers' map pool isn't as deep, so it'll be fun to see what you get there. At 10, you will have Rogue playing the winner of Astralis and Complexity. So Rogue going up most likely against Astralis, I think you could say, right? And that'll be Astralis getting both of the weaker North American teams. So,
man, can we all just take a step back and realize that Astralis is playing in a what is essentially a qualifying stage?
Yeah.
You have the number one team in the world playing in the challenger stage of the major. Like,
getting the best draw, too. I mean,
I saw that this morning.
These are all random.
Like, I really just, like, while looking at this, getting ready for the show, I just, this morning I woke up and I just laughed. I was like, it's not even fair. Just, Astralis is
like, at this point, like I said, you make it a good showing and hopefully come out with some confidence from the match rather than getting 16-3'd and feeling super defeated like Optic's feeling right now. After that, you got now we hop into the loser side. So these are going to be the 0-1 versus 0-1s. Renegades and Gambit. North and Spirit. I think North is getting a pretty damn good draw here to keep themselves alive. Obviously, it's not eliminated if you lose this. Optic VP. So Battle of the Old School Titans. Who?
It's a good bounce back for Optic.
Good little winner is still the loser type situation. And then finally, you have Space Soldiers versus the Astralis Complexity loser. That could be super interesting because if Complexity loses against Astralis, I think that is also a good draw for them to get Space Soldiers playing with the coach. So gives them some hope to walk out of
there. A lot of interesting day two matchups, mainly on the loser side, I feel like. Because on the loser side, it could really, like, each of these matches are either good matchups, but you can also see them going the other way. You know,
a lot of 50-50 matchup. I think the only one that you walk out of here feeling pretty comfortable with is saying North should handle Spirit tomorrow. But all the other loser matchups, Renegades, Gambit, Optic, VP, and Space Soldiers, Complexity, let's say, are all pretty toss-up, pick'em type matches.
Good stuff. So who do you guys have? Do you want to do predictions right now? Just getting out. We'll do predictions as the stages go. Right, so not the whole major predictions. We'll worry about that when we get to the bracket stage. But just I think my team's making it out of challengers. Give me Liquid.
How many make it out here? I'm making sure I'm counting this right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Half of them make it up. So give me Liquid, Astralis. I think we can kind of talk about this out loud, so we're not just all running through our eight. I think we can all agree Liquid, Astralis. is going to make it out.
Those are givens, yeah.
Hellraisers.
We can all agree, Nip.
I think Nip will make it out. They'll definitely make it out too.
Let it be a guarantee for all of us, okay? Can we please be on the same page with this one?
All right.
Nip is going to make it out. Give Nip guaranteed.
And then Big, they're...
I think Big should make it out.
Is, yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah, so we got Astralis, Nip, Big,
I don't
want to
be
Liquid.
Like the boring person here, but I think all the teams that won today are going to make it out. You got Team Liquid, Nip, Big, Rogue, Tyloo, Hellraisers, Vega, and Astralis. I think the only one that out there is Rogue and Tyloo you could interchange.
Because I would also say the winner of Renegades and Gambit in this next round will have a pretty decent chance too, though. I think both teams have good potential and could swing it in their favor. I mean, you could easily see somebody slipping up out of that group. Like, I think by all means, Tyloo is not a guarantee to make it out. So I think they're the interchangeable team that we're talking about. Even Vega Squadron to a certain extent. Vega loses tomorrow. You know, who knows what kind of matchup you get. You lose two games, then the pressure's really on at that point. But yeah, I agree. I think Tyloo, Vega are really the wild card teams, and all the other winners from today should be
locked.
See,
my only concern though there is like Rogue, you know, well, you don't know, but there's a 98% chance they're playing Astralis tomorrow.
Yep.
And there's like a 98% chance in that they're going to lose. So you can kind of automatically assume Rogue is 1-1, right? They're 1-1 after tomorrow. So that will automatically put them playing with losers. Now, depending on the other teams that lose and the draw that they get, I think there are a lot more... The challenger stage to me is a lot more bottom heavy than it is top heavy. You know,
I think
if you're on that fringe side of it, as long as you are like a mid tier team in here, I think you're going to favor better. So I don't know.
There's not many teams coming out of this stage. Actually it's kind of surprising. I take that back. There's like two or three teams coming out of this stage that you see have a chance making it all the way into the final rounds of quarters, semis, you know, there's a lot of talent in this early group. But yeah, there is a bunch of bottom feeders as well that we're going to see wash out.
And that all starts at 4 a.m. tomorrow with Astralis Central and Complexity picking up. Yeah, Central Time with Astralis and Complexity picking up their first game that should have been played today. Let's get into some e-news, though. Like I said, a lot happened in the 2 weeks that we are gone. A lot of Overwatch roster moves. I'm not going to bring them up all in details on e-news right now because I think we're going to talk about it after the major to give a little bit more of a huger update on what's going on with the Overwatch League. Teams can now sign their current players or cut them, but they can't sign free agents yet. It's like the trade window's open, but not the free agent window's open. So it's kind of
I like that you can kind of like build your core and then, you know,
well, and I think they're doing it as a way to say, hey, keep your guys, you can talk to your players, but until we get all of these expansion teams going, like, we want to give them a fighting chance at signing some of these free agents. So I don't know if that's how it's going to be every year, but speaking of expansion teams, this is from Jacob Wolf of ESPN, so it's not official. But he is stating that he has been told the teams are, as we already knew, Atlanta and Guangzhou, China. Okay.
Just say China 1, China 2, China 3.
Yeah.
But really, it should all be China number 1.
China number 1. So you got Chinese team number 1 and Atlanta. You got Washington, D.C. might get a team. Don't like that. Toronto's going to get a team. I like it. Vancouver's going to get another team. Or not another team, but Canada's going to get another team. I like that. West Coast team there. I don't like Washington, but...
Why not?
Yeah.
I would have liked to send a Midwestern team. St. Louis, Kansas, Chicago. I would have liked to see...
Chicago would be a big one, yeah.
You know, Detroit. Something in the middle. I need something in the middle here so Dallas and Houston isn't flying coast to coast every time.
That's like our curse. That's this region's curse.
That's what I'm saying.
Every single sport.
You see it all the time.
You don't know where to put us. Where do you put Dallas?
Like, you put them in the middle. That way you're at least in the same time zone.
If it's baseball, you're in the West. If it's NFL, you're in the East.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Oh, yeah.
You also have Paris, which is a team that we actually talked about, a city that, you know, building up. We actually kind of talked about that a long time ago. So get French with it, Jacob. All right? Yeah. We broke the news.
Yeah.
And I was in... After I traveled there recently, I had a chance to talk to some of the high-level
executives. Oh, did you? Yeah.
They told me, this is it. Okay. This is it.
Excellent.
That's right after I met with Kenny.
And then you have two more teams going to Chinese cities that I'm not going to pronounce. So China, when it's all said and done, might have four Overwatch League teams. That's
They're
insane.
Just trying to bump viewership numbers. I don't blame them.
Well, and you know, we actually talked about this in pre-show. It does suck because you can't deny the population size of China, and you can't deny the fact that people actually play video games and watch them there. So
when
you would love to you would love to include their viewership numbers, right? But there's also just so much scamming and botting going on that we just as a society decide, nah, we're just none of you count.
Yeah, so, y'all count. The biggest population in the world, zero of you are going to count.
Yeah.
But hey, we'll give you four teams. That makes up for
it. Clearly, something is there that Blizzard is seeing that, no, yeah, this will work here, but...
They emailed me back. What they saw was dollar signs.
Did you just email them now? Like,
I
as
did.
We
I emailed
the
them
segment?
Just now. I was like, hey, guys, what's up? China, like, four teams? Like, yeah, they're rich.
So they're going to get four teams, and that will complete the eight-team expansion. So we'll see. We'll see. I think all that makes pretty much good sense, though. And that's pretty much all lining up with everything that we've heard. This weekend, you do have the Overwatch League World Cup continuing as Canada is playing Canada, USA, Austria, Brazil, Switzerland, and Norway. So this is the Los Angeles. Whoa, the Los Angeles stage. Gotta get a drink of water, Brett. You take this over.
All right. So to begin things off, you starting Friday at noon Central. You got Canada playing Austria, which you know, you look at Canada's roster and it's all Overwatch League pros. You got the world famous XQC.
Who
starting
got his
main tank
first
for
and
Canada.
Final warning from Blizzard going into the World Cup. Blizzard said
100% he doesn't finish the tournament with the team. Calling it now.
Like he doesn't finish the World Cup. 100%
he gets kicked out for some reason.
Yeah, so you can slot Canada in there. I mean, that's pretty simple, pretty easy group for them. And then you got the U.S. The notable game is going to be USA. They're also playing that same day at 5:15 Central against Austria. So Austria's got Canada, and then that same day they have to play the USA, which, I mean, anybody has those two teams. Yeah, I mean, USA, you got Dallas's own Arrow as their head coach, and then also McGravy of Team Envious.
So that would be all good and fun. So we'll talk about more of that in detail. We'll recap those matches next week. So keep an eye on those, though, so you can be a part of that discussion. You can even join our Discord if you want. We'll talk about it there. Also, while we were gone, kind of glad that we weren't doing the show here because I don't know how to address it. But obviously, everyone knows what happened in Jacksonville, Florida. We don't need to rehash it here. Ridiculous event that should never have happened, but nonetheless it did. EA is doing their Madden charity tournament tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to watch that. Contribute if you can. From what I understand, all of the donations are going to the victims' families, which is awesome. And EA has already pitched in $1 million for it. I mean, you think, okay, they're going to, what, put up $10,000 to start it. No, dude, they say what you want about EA, but that's good. You know, I saw some people saying, like, oh, well, of course they're going to do that. It's EA. They got to look good. Or, like, it's just...
No, they didn't have to do anything. This was a event where everybody just wants to help. And I don't think you look at it, like, from a company like, oh, this company or that company. Look, like, people want to help. This is the worst case scenario that could have happened in the esports event. I think it's an eye opener for a lot of production companies out there that are going to be hosting future events.
But it's not even just for esports, right? For anything. Like, you gotta you gotta be aware that anything is possible. We've even talked about it a lot of times on the show that, you know, how many times do we go to an event saying like, man, security
DreamHack, like in DreamHack, it's what we were talking about. Like, oh my gosh, you could literally walk in with anything, you know, God forbid that it happened. But we all knew like, oh gosh, this is like a room of 10,000 sweaty teenagers. All it's going to take is one person to pop off and there's nothing here to stop it.
Even at when we had credentials at ESL, I mean, at sometimes there was nobody working the elevator that had straight access to the pros, right? Yeah. So it's like, it's crazy how lax it is at these events. But I mean, on the topic of Madden, I mean, there's not a whole lot of, I mean, it's a whole lot of negative. Like, it's a sad event. I mean, terrible thing happened. But something cool, I've been following O'Leary. For those that don't know O'Leary, he is a NBA 2K player that plays for Milwaukee. He got shot in the thumb during that event. I've been following him on Twitter, just his little journey there, and he had surgery. The doctor said he's going to be able to play next season for the NBA 2K season.
I know there was
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was like up in the air that they might, you know, they didn't know before the surgery if he was even going to be able to play again. So that's good to hear. I did not see that update there, so that's always good. So I think it's it was a pointless event, right? Like, regardless, no matter what, should never happen. But it is good to see that the community as a whole handled it, I think, amazingly. You're going to have those anonymous people online on Twitter, you know, talking trash and doing their thing. They're idiots. They got whatever they have to do to entertain themselves and validate their own existence. They can do that. But I think as a whole, I was really
the esports community.
Yes,
yeah, really
the esports community, and even like with media, right? You knew media right away is going to jump on. Oh, see, this is video games and violence, and you did have a few of them do that. But even then, I feel like as a video game community, as esports community, we didn't instantly try to backlash on that, right? We just kind of said like, nope, has nothing to do with that, but thank you anyways. Like, I
imagine if it was a shooting video game.
Yeah.
That would have been a whole different.
That would have been that we would still be talking about it.
Yeah.
Like it. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I think there was two sides of the story, right? The mainstream media tried making it violence in video games, and esports and, you know, the esports community addressed it for what it was. It's a sick person that did it, but it does address the bigger problem of securities at these events that have to be addressed. So I'm really interested to see at next year's DreamHack, you know.
Again, and make sure to, you know, the most important thing to get out of this is, again, tomorrow, tune in. Anything you can donate, you know, anything you can do to help out, that's what's important about tomorrow's event. It's not about video games. It's just about helping people that need it. And so even if it's a couple of bucks, get in, check it out. You know, even if you can just watch it, I think watching it just helps supports it. So, you know, make sure to at least take a few minutes out, even if Madden's not your thing, you know, do it for them.
Absolutely. And that's at 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. I am sure that will be on Twitch. Well, gentlemen, it was fun being back with you. I enjoyed it. And I hope our listener did too. But that just about do it. Our one listener. Hope that they enjoyed it because we did it for them. So that does it for episode 120 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. We will be back next week talking about the CSGO major as that continues on. I think by then we'll be in the legend stage. Should be.
Starting it off.
Yeah, at least starting it off. Keep an eye on our Twitter at The Center Ring. Our schedule might be a little off with the CSGO major because I think every time these rounds always start on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, which is typically when we record. So maybe we'll do surprise weekend episodes so that way we can do like proper predictions and previews. I don't know. We'll figure
that
out.
So next round looks like it starts the 13th, which is a Thursday. So it might be right after we record. So maybe we can discuss the upcoming games coming there.
Yeah. Best thing you can do is follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. And know then. But until then, for Nuge, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next week.